Remember the store I helped some investors buy in 2015 that was losing money? I shared two updates so far, and now here is the third one about how the store is doing right now. This is a long-awaited episode, but here it is finally, so please enjoy.
Welcome to the one and only Gas Station Business 101 podcast, where you can learn all the secrets about how to start and operate a gas station business successfully and make money. This podcast is brought to you by the good folks at CSB Academy Publishing Company. And now, here is your host, Shabir Hossein.
Welcome to Gas Station Business 101 podcast. I am Shabir Hossein. And this is episode number 61. This is the show where we discuss everything under the sun about gas station and convenience store business, how to buy these businesses, how to operate them, and how to grow them to be a million-dollar success. Now, let's get on to the show. On episode 23, I shared that I helped some investors buy a gas station. This is a real life story and nothing made up. And I shared in that episode 23 some sales data and some analysis that I've done back then, some projected P&Ls and such. And as I said, I was helping a group of buyers to decide if they should buy this location or not. And if you recall, in that episode, I published the real sales figure of that store, along with some real P&L and some projected ones as well. Based on their sales data, I created some P&Ls of my own, and I showed for the month of October, the seller had lost about $2,500, if you remember that. If not, I highly recommend you go back and listen to episode 23 and then episode 29, because those are the two first episodes about this store. So to recap, when we looked at that store, we looked at the numbers, the store was losing money. But not because the store was losing money, I was interested in it. I saw the opportunities in that store because it was so severely mismanaged that any store would lose money under those circumstances. But so despite that fact, the store was losing money, I did go ahead and recommend it to the buyers that they buy the store based on some of the factors that I wrote down, and I showed it to them and I discussed in episode 23 as well. And just to remind you and to recap, in that episode, I discussed a few issues which can be the growth opportunities for this store, and those were that the store had a good location. And I just wanted to recap, so I will go through those 9 points. If you don't want to listen back to episode 23 and 29, I'm going to try to recap all of those in this episode. So the 9 points that I've noticed that it has potential with, because number one, as I said, was store and its location. It was a great location and still is. Number two was demographics. And I'm not going to get into the detail of each and every one of these because, as I said, I've discussed this before. So I just wanted to remind you of these 9 points that made us decide to buy that store. Number three was age and the brand of the store. Number four was physical inspection of the store and the issues we noticed. Number five, recommended upgrades and how much those upgrades would cost. Number six was indoor issues, meaning inside the store, the issues that the store was facing. Number seven, outdoor issues, meaning the issues that we have seen on the outside, from roof to canopy to pumps to lightings and all of that. Number eight was sales and financials. That was a major one. Number nine is the biggest one, which is projected P&L versus real P&L. And that is ultimately the deciding factor because we based our decision based on the projected P&L. So I took a little bit of calculated risk, you can say. And some people say, well, it wasn't your money, so you could take the risk. No, I would do the same with my own money if I can see the opportunity and my projected P&L can show that it will make money based on these circumstances if we make these changes. And again, what are those changes? We have discussed in an episode 29. I will try to recap those here shortly. Okay, then on episode 29, I shared some P&L for March 2016, which was about 3 months after the new owners has taken over. And in that episode, I did compare the P&Ls from October 2015, which was when the previous owners were running, compared to the March 2016 when the new owners were running, which the sellers provided to me, the new owners rather. And if you recall, there was a drastic difference between those two. The new owners increased the business and made it a very profitable one. But to get to that increase, that profit, the new owners had to implement the following 9 strategies that I proposed. I had a long discussion with those new buyers, and I told them that the only way they would survive, if they were getting a good deal because the store was losing money, and I told them that this is a wonderful opportunity as long as you do these following things. And if you can do it properly, you will be profitable. But if you do it halfway, then you may not see much of profit and it may end up being a losing concern. But they were dedicated, they were motivated. So they said, we will do whatever it takes, and they have done it. And they are continuing to do so. So let's go through those strategies that I shared in episode 29, and I will share it again right here. The strategies that they implemented based on my recommendation, number one was address all maintenance issues. The store had a lot of maintenance issues. So, and I told them, I said, all of these needs to be fixed. So number one was address all maintenance issues. Number two was upgrade all the lighting and put a fresh coat of paint. And when I said upgrade the lightings, meaning upgrade the lightings to LED lights. And a fresh coat of paint never hurts. It always gives the station or business or even a house a new look. And it doesn't cost as much. So, you know, it's always a good idea to get that new impression. Give that impression to your customers that something has changed in the store. Number three was very simple, clean up the store. Well, the store didn't look like it has been cleaned properly in many years. So a proper cleanup, and proper cleanup doesn't usually mean just sweep and mop. It gets a little bit more involved, so to speak. But that's what it takes, cleanup. Number four was remerchandising the store based on its traffic flow. Now, this is one important part. And if you recall my episode back in about a year and a half ago, where I believe that was episode number 5, 6, or 7, and one of those episodes where I was talking about the 6 P's of marketing, where I talked about merchandising was one of the part where I talked about how you can merchandise your store based on your traffic flow. And that's what I did in this store. I laid out a planogram that said, this is how your store should be merchandised. Based on the traffic flow. Number five was bringing in product that sells in the area. Well, that is the biggest problem in our gas station industry, that when the company that you buy your supplies and groceries from, they usually send somebody called merchandiser, and they have a cookie cutter plan that they put into every store. It could be in Arkansas, it could be in Alabama, it could be in Texas, but the same planogram gets used in every store. But not every market is the same. So not every customer wants to buy the same thing. So it has to be tailored to fit that specific market, rather. And that's what I did. I told them that the merchandising that they need to do in this store should fit the demographics of the store. And that's how we did not use the cookie cutter plan. Instead, we tailored made our merchandising plan and said, this is how you should merchandise this store. Okay, number six was advertise heavily via reader board, pump toppers, and on the front door. Well, a lot of the branded store do not want you to put a lot of stickers and stuff on the front door, and that is a very good idea. You don't want to block the view. You don't want to make the store look too clumsy. But one good idea is if you can make a clean, beautiful sign that you can put on your front door and rotate that sign, let's say once a month. Let's say you have a different special every month on Coke, Pepsi, or whatever that is. Just change it out so it looks fresh, new, and don't have too many other specials or stickers around it. So the focus goes on one special. And similarly, you can use your pump toppers. The pump toppers are the one that sits on top of your dispenser where most of the branded store advertise their branded fuel. There are parts where you can take one side and advertise something neatly on that pump topper and not handwritten signs, but of course, professionally made signs that you can advertise. And I'm sure you have gone to some corporate owned stores that you've seen that says, walk inside to get two hot dogs and a 32-ounce soda for $1.99 and such on the pump topper. See, there is a, you have a very captive audience. When they're fueling up their car, they're just looking around. And if they can see that message on the pump topper, you know, that may want them to go buy that because either they're hungry or they're thirsty or whatever the case is. So that is a good place to advertise. And similarly, a lot of stores have a reader board on the outside. And if you have a reader board, do use it properly and do change that special often. For example, a lot of stores advertise 99 cents soda on summertime, 99 cents coffee in the wintertime. Things like that can bring people in through that door. And luckily, this store had a reader board that was never used. The lights never did work. So we had them fix the lights, put some LED light bulbs in it, made it bright, cleaned it up, and then order some new letters to use on that reader board. And those letters were red, green, and black. So you can make it different colors to attract more attention towards the reader board. Okay, moving on. Number 7, bringing in EBT and money order. What is EBT? EBT is the old-fashioned way to say food stamp. It's the electronic benefit transfer system that some people use, that the government give them a credit card looking thing that they can buy certain stuff under with that card. Not tobacco, not gasoline, and not alcohol. But you can buy food with it. Not hot food, but you can buy other food items with it. And drinks for that matter. So by bringing in EBT, you're catering to a special set of clients that never did come through that door because that store never did accept EBT. So by bringing in EBT, you can always increase your business at least by $100 a day. And money orders always bring people in. Even though you don't make much money out of money order, but it is a convenience. And remember, you are into convenience store business. So you need to make your store convenient for other people. And in order to do that, money order is a beautiful thing to have as long as you can manage it properly and safely with some proper procedure about money handling. You can increase your business by having a money order. And as I said, you're not going to make much money out of selling money order, at most maybe 80 cents to a dollar. But what it does is at the beginning of the month, there are a lot of people that will come get money orders because they just got paid and they need to pay their rent or utility bills and they only take money orders. So they will buy the money orders and spend some of the other leftover funds to buy gasoline to other stuff that they need. So it is a good thing to have. Number 8 is implementation of new fuel and merchandising pricing strategy. Well, I think I spoke in length about pricing strategy. This is one of the most important things you can do to your business by pricing things right. Let's say everybody around you sells a pack of cigarettes for $6, but you come in, the new sheriff in town, and you price your cigarette $8 a pack. Do you think anybody would buy it? Yes, maybe a few packs here and there, but not much. As soon as people find out that you're charging $2 more, then they will go somewhere else. Similarly, or oppositely, if you start selling cigarettes at $4 a pack, which is $2 cheaper than everybody else, as soon as people find out, everybody will come to you and start buying cartons after cartons. But you're losing $1 a pack on each pack you sell. So in about a month, you'll go out of business. These are the two extreme examples. And I'm not saying most people do either one of these. No. But it is important to price your product and use some strategy that I've shared many times. So I will not get into it because it will take me another hour to share the proper pricing strategy. It takes some research and some calculation, and then you figure out, okay, if I stay here, then I'm not competing with this guy, but I'm competing with this guy, but at least I'm competitive. Whichever way, it is a good idea to implement some type of pricing strategy both on fuel and merchandise. Number 9, which is the last one, is full-on marketing and promotional campaign. And that is one of the biggest part in this store that increased their business. Of course, cleaning up and all of those did help, and then the pricing strategy. But most importantly, at first, what the store brought more customers in through is by having a good marketing and promotional campaign. They use the reader board, they use the pump toppers, they use outside signs whenever possible. So they brought in new customers by advertising different promotions and different specials and different fuel pricing, competitive fuel pricing rather. And that's how they increase their business. So as I said, and you can see, I'm sure, that not one single strategy that made this business profitable out of those 9, but it's rather the combination of many of these strategies and factors that came into play. It wasn't an easy task, but the credit goes to the management team of the store who were able to follow directions and implement everything we suggested for that store. Now, let's take a look at what and how the store has done since March 2016 and until December 2016. You remember, these are the numbers that I wanted to share with you for the last 2 months, but somehow or other, I got delayed, and then some of the P&Ls and the sales figure, they didn't send in time, so I got delayed again. But finally, in the last episode, as I told you, I received all those data and I analyzed them, and I got them ready for this episode. So mainly, this episode's focus is to show you how they have done since March 2016 till December 2016. Because this way, you get a whole year worth of picture as to how the store has done in the first full year of its existence under the new ownership. But it will be hard for me to show you month by month P&L since March till December, because I don't have that many P&Ls, but I've glanced through some of their profit and loss, and I've noticed that their best month was August 2016. And I will share the profit for that month later. But before we dive into these numbers, I just wanted you to understand that in our area, in the South, and in most of the areas, other than Florida, I would say, where most snowbirds go during the winter months, most other areas, we slow down during the winter time, and our best months are usually summer. So if you're in any of this region other than Florida, then you will relate to what I'm saying, that winter months like November, December, January, and February, these are the 4 months that our business are the slowest. And our best months usually June, July, August, and those months, starts from March, April, May, and gradually it increases. And I believe it hits the highest point in August. And then gradually it slows down again. So just wanted to give you that heads up, because I will be sharing with you December's P&L, which is a slow month's P&L. And I'm comparing it to March 2016, which was a higher month, because March is when the business usually picks up, because that's the spring, start of spring. So in our area, springtime is a good time for the business to flourish and increase. But one important thing to share, that since taking over that store in December 2015, that store has never slowed down. It always showed a positive growth and a positive increase month over month. Well, again, from August, when it hits its highest point, then it started slowing down because of winter. So obviously, that doesn't mean the store is going downhill. No, that's the natural course of business. But again, from this March and on, it is picking up. As I spoke to the owners and they said, yes, it has picked up. So eventually in the next couple of months, I will share one more P&L for one of the highest months this summer. So you will see how the store is progressing. But now getting back to our sales data for this month of December, I put the snapshot picture under the show note. So if you need to look at these numbers, you can go to my website, gasstationbusiness101.com, and look at episode 61 under the show note. You will see the snapshot of daily sales for December and the P&L that I created for the store, because they gave me one, but I just wanted to resize it rather, to fit the screen and all that. So I had to tweak it a little bit, not the numbers, but the actual data sheet, so I can fit it into my show note. So, and you will get to see both of them. But to give you an example, the store in December sold roughly $77,000 of the merchandise, which is higher than March, because back then, it was only 3 months when the owners came in, so they were still working on different strategies and different marketing and promotion and all that. So they have reached, as I said, their highest point in August 2016. And even though they're slowing down now, they're still selling higher than March. 77,000 is about, I believe, 3,000 or 4,000 higher than what they did is in March 2016. But their fuel sales has dropped off because, as you can imagine, springtime people drive more and there are spring breaks and whatnot. So yes, you will sell more gas in March than in December. So their fuel volume have dropped compared to March. But the profit margin is what I want to get to. And I want you to take a look at this sales data because I put all 3 months that we talked about, their profit margin and their gasoline profit dollar amount. This way you get to see all three discussions that we have had in episode 23, 29, and now in 61. So just to give you an example, in October 2015, when the owners were there, they were making 4 cents on regular gallon. They were making 15 cents on plus, and they were making 20 cents on premium fuel. When these new owners came in, they changed their pricing strategy. So they were making 7 cents a gallon on regular, and they were making 23 cents on plus, which is the mid-grade, and 35 cents on premium. And now in December, back this December, their profit margin, even though their volume has dropped a little bit, I believe they did 71,000 gallons, roughly 71,800 somewhat gallons for month of December, when in March, I believe they were doing about 77,000 gallons. So there is a drop of about 6,000 gallons, and which is normal because, as I said, because of the month in winter versus month in spring. But one important thing to mention that their regular profit margin has gone up by a penny. So month of December, they had 8 cents a gallon profit margin on plus, regular, and they had 28 cents profit per gallon on mid-grade, which is higher by about 5 cents compared to March. But their premium stayed the same at 35 cents a gallon. So even they sold less fuel, they didn't make much less money because they picked up some extra cash by improving their margin. Okay, and now as for the inside sales and their profit margin, just to give you an example, the previous owners were making 17% on cigarettes, but they were not selling much cigarettes because they were pricing themselves out of the market. They were about $1.50 higher per pack than anybody else around them. So when the new owners came in, they reduced the price and increased sales. They went to 15% margin. And now with new price increase on cigarettes and new pricing strategy, and now they have 2-pack special, 3-pack special. And with all of that, somehow they ended up increasing their margin by 1%. So now they're doing 16%. And their cigarette volume has increased drastically. This is the only department that has seen a huge growth in this store. So just to give you an example, let me take a look at March 2016's cigarette sales versus December. Okay, so they did 23,000 in March 2016 for total cigarette sales for that month, $23,574. But see, they were back then only 3 months old and they were still promoting and pricing their product according to what the market should bear. And it takes time for people to notice that, hey, these people are competitive. These people carry the product always and they're never out of my cigarettes or my soda or whatnot. So as you can see, that even though they reduced the margin by 2% by coming in from 17 to 15%, their cigarette sales were only $23,574 in March 2015. And in December, they did $34,284, which is about $11,000 more sales for cigarettes, even in a slow month. So it is a drastic and a huge improvement. Plus, they increased the profit margin by 1%. So just to give you an idea in real dollar amount, in March, they made $3,536 profit just for selling cigarettes, gross profit that is. But in December, the profit jumped to $5,143. So that is almost $1,800, $1,900 more profit by selling cigarettes. So they're catering to smokers. And that is nothing wrong with that because, you know, there are only so many things that you can get people in through the door with. Selling soda, selling beer, yes, some. But cigarette is one of those in South, a lot of people smoke. So if you can offer them a good special, keep your inventory in stock, people will come and your business will increase. And these people are the living proof of that. Now, as for beer, since it's a winter month, I believe they sold less beer, by about $1,000 less beer than March. But the profit margin pretty much stayed, the profit margin increased. It did not increase, I'm sorry. It did not increase. It stayed at 24%, just like it did in March. But they did drop beer sales because in December, it's winter month, people don't drink as much beer. Then wine, I believe they increased the wine business by about $1,000 because December people buy more wine and they started carrying more varieties. So yes, they increased the business by $1,000, which is not much, but hey, it's an increase. Similarly, tobacco, drinks, grocery, none of those departments did much of a different sales. Obviously, some departments like fountain drinks or drinks in general, soda and whatnot, has showed less sales compared to March because, again, it's winter month. But their phone card and deli showed a little bit more sales, even though the profit margin has pretty much remained the same other than gone up by a percentage or two. They built their deli business a little bit more, obviously, by keeping the stock, keeping the varieties of sandwiches. So you will increase sales because people coming in noticing different type of food. Every time they come, there is a new type of sandwich or new type of whatever food they carry. And it entices people to think, hey, you know, that means it's not stale. It's not there for the last 2-3 weeks. So they do sales so I can buy something. If I'm really hungry, I'll buy something and a bag of chips and a soda and be on my way. So by doing that, they improved their deli sales a little bit. And as I said, their grocery sales, Motorola's and Fountain, none of them showed much of a difference other than some soda and Fountain has dropped off because of winter months. And as I already discussed about fuel, that they did do less fuel volume, but they did not lose much money or made less money because they increased their profit margin on fuel. So overall, in this month of December, let's compare the P&Ls. Okay, just to recap, if you remember, in October 2015, once again, right before the new owners took over, the store lost $2,500 2574.51 to be exact. Then the new owners took over in December, and by March, the store became profitable, which I shared in episode 29. The P&L then showed a profit of $5,193. So roughly $5,200 profit for the month of March. And how did they do that? They made roughly $9,000 in fuel profit, $17,000 in merchandise profit, and these are gross profit, by the way. And then vacuum and air machine was about $986. So total gross profit was $27,299. Let's say $27,000 gross profit for that month. And then all the store expense combined came to $22,106. So their net profit was rather $5,193.33, so about $5,200. Now, let's compare that to December of 2016, which was only 4 months ago. This month, as I said, they sold less fuel by about 7,000-8,000 gallons, but their profit margin has gone up by a bit. So, funny thing is, even selling 7,000 gallons less, their gross profit on fuel did not drop off more than $10. So they did $9,091 in fuel profit for the month of December. Their store profit was $18,547. Their air and vacuum brought in $1,340 because now there are more traffic coming towards the store. So obviously the vacuum, air, ATM, and all of those will be used more. So that's why they see an increase from $986 from air, vacuum, and ATM to about $1,340. So altogether, their gross profit came to $28,978, or we can round it off to $29,000 gross profit for the month of December for this store. And all the expenses pretty much stayed the same. I think payroll went up a little bit and utility went up a little bit. Other than that, rent, tax, insurance always remains the same. Credit card charges dropped off by $300, I believe, because of less fuel sales. And everything else remained pretty much the same. So their expenses came again to about $22,103, which is about only $2, $3 difference between last time to this time. And their net profit was $6,875.46. So you see, between March and this slow month of December, they still increased profit by about $1,600 or $1,700. Not bad. Not bad at all. As I said, December is a slow month. They dropped off fuel volume, even though their inside sales held somewhat strong. But they made more money compared to March of 2016 in December 2016. That is outstanding. Okay, and now, as I said, that I have seen their highest month since they have taken over, which was August 2016, and I did not get a P&L to share with you, but I do want to share the number with you. And that number is their net profit for month of August was $9,612.90. $9,612.90. That is outstanding once again. So they made almost $10,000 profit for the month of August, even though their profit came down to about $7,000 for the month of December. But that's because the business has slowed down considerably in the winter month. But this year, they will have the best year because now they are already in business for more than a year. They have fixed all the issues and they have worked out all the kinks. Now they can focus on growing the business. And I believe when I spoke to them recently, they're seeing a much higher increase compared to last year to this year. And that's why I said in about next 2 months or 3 months, I will be sharing one more P&L and then I will stop sharing this store because by then, it will be a store that you know the story of. So with that, the question you may ask me is why or what have they done differently to see this increase? Well, to be honest with you, nothing other than keeping up with the proper inventory, making sure the pricing is right, and providing the best customer service they can possibly provide. and keeping the store clean. That is the secret sauce to success in our line of business. There is nothing more. It's not a secret formula or a calculation that nobody else knows other than me. No, everybody knows this. This is common sense approach. You keep the product on shelf, you price it properly and competitively rather, and make sure your facility is clean, well-lit, and your people behind the counter behave professionally. That's all it takes. So in this episode, I'm not sharing with you any more strategies because those are the strategies that I laid out. Those are the ones that they followed, and that's what brought them to this point. There is no other secret to this success of this store or any other store for that matter. If you look at most of these corporate stores, the big ones that do very high volume fuel and inside sales, why do you think they do so well? Do they have a secret that we don't know about? Not really. They do extensive market research, so they know what the pricing should be. And you will see that their merchandising changes month to month because they do a lot of research in merchandising. What sells, what doesn't sell. And if some items do not sell one even in a month, they will move that item out and they will bring something else in. And another thing they do is they have uniformed employees that are polite and their facilities are always well lit and clean. And always remember, a lot of the stores you walk into, some of these 7-Elevens or Circle K's or Wawa Food Mart, and you smell that freshly brewed coffee. Why? Because that makes people think this is a busy store, clean store, and that makes them think about food. So things like that, simple things, if you can implement. I'm not saying make coffee, throw them away, and make coffee, throw them away. No. If you can build a coffee business, people will come and buy the coffee if they know. I'm a coffee drinker myself. So if I know this store is known for fresh coffee, I will go buy the coffee any given time of the day, not only in the morning. So there are stores that are known for that, and the coffee drinkers know which stores they are, and that's how they go there. So if you are a store owner that's your coffee, you don't sell much of coffee, and all of a sudden for 5 days or 6 days you make every 45 minutes, you make a fresh pot of coffee and you throw it away because nobody's buying it. Week later, you complain that, hey, I've tried. Nobody buys it. Well, it's not going to happen in 7 days. It takes time for people to notice that you have fresh coffee. Teach your employees to mention to every customer that says, hey, we got fresh coffee. We brew our coffee in every 45 minutes. So any coffee drinker will remember that next time. And it takes time to grow the business, to bring people in, make them comfortable, and so they can keep coming back. It doesn't happen overnight. You cannot lower your price today and hope tomorrow your business will be back or you will do phenomenal business from tomorrow. Like anything in life, it takes time. Even if you plant a tree, it doesn't give you fruit the next day. It takes a year or more sometimes for that plant or that tree to bear fruit. So anything you do, it takes time, but you have to keep at it. Let's say the tree that you planted or the fruit tree, the plant that you planted, would you just water it first 3 days and then don't worry about it for next 1 year because you know the fruit is coming next year, so I'm not going to worry about taking care of it. No, you have to water it every day. You have to weed it out. You have to make sure the soil is moist and the loose, and you have to add different types of food, plant food, so the plant can be healthy to bear fruit. So you see, there are process and procedures that you have to follow. Just because you're not getting the fruit today doesn't mean you will not get it tomorrow or next month or next year. But you have to work at it. With anything, as I said, in life, the hard work brings you great fruit at the end. But once you start getting the fruit, don't stop working. You have to continue to work at it, but create a system where you don't have to work as hard, but a system where your employees can pretty much do most of those things. And that way you can relax, enjoy, and just make sure to observe and monitor how the store is doing. Anything that you see that's going wrong, address it right away. Don't wait till things fall apart. So these are the basic things you can do to increase your business. As I said, there is no secret to the success of convenience store business or gas stations? It's common sense. I always say this is a common sense business. You don't need to have a PhD, master's degree, or a bachelor's degree. Education helps, but common sense helps more. Well, I hope you enjoyed this show. And if you have any question, or if you have question that you want me to answer in podcast, please feel free to email me at shabir@gasstationbusiness101.com. Or you can post that question on my Facebook group by going to shabirhussain.net, which is a domain redirect to my Facebook group. Don't forget to sign up for my very, very important newsletter. Some of you are sending me emails thanking me for sending you those 7 email series that are vital to any gas station business. And I always encourage you to keep them in a separate folder. So anytime you're looking to buy a business, you can look up and see how the due diligence process works. Or if you're buying a station with land, you need to check on the closing list, see what you're forgetting. It's a vital tool for you to keep handy. So make sure you keep those emails in a folder. So anytime you need it, you can look at them. And if you haven't received any of those emails, that means you haven't signed up for it. So go ahead and sign up by going to my website, which is gasstationbusiness101.com/subscribe. Or as soon as you land on my site, just scroll down to the bottom. You will see where it says subscribe to the newsletter. Just hit that button. It will take you to that process, which is only you put your email address and a name and you're done. Sit back, relax, and I will be sending you those emails. And I believe by signing up, you get a free book from me, which is the passive income book. I give you some ideas how to make extra money when you're sitting at home watching TV. And I've done it. I still do it and I enjoy it. So that's a bonus. It's free. And I will deliver that to your email. Now, here is a link to my podcast on iTunes page. And when I say here, I mean on the show notes. So if you're looking at the show note, because I hope you will be looking at this P&Ls and the daily sales sheet that you wanted to see, because I've thrown a lot of numbers in here. And if you're driving while listening to my show, there are a lot of these numbers will not make any sense unless you get to see the numbers with your eyes. So if you need to see those numbers, go to my show note. And once you're done, you can scroll down to the bottom and I'm providing a link to iTunes page where you can go and give me leave me a review. I'm not saying leave me a good review. I'm not saying leave me a bad review. I'm just saying leave me an honest review. And that will mean the world to me. Once again, thank you for joining me in this episode and I will see you in the next one. Take care.
This has been the one and only Gas Station Business 101 podcast with your host, Shabir Hussain. This podcast was brought to you by CSB Academy Publishing Company. Be sure to join us next time as we share with you the secrets about how to start and operate a gas station business successfully and make money.